All right, good morning. Now I want to tell the children that you'll be very happy because this pastor doesn't preach very long. He is a bit loud though. All right, well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here. And my Afrikaans accent is not as strong as most Afrikaans people. So my wife said, now you must sound a little bit more South African, because when I hear the English spoken here, I sort of automatically switch over to the pronunciation, the way things are said here. But a lot of people have come up and asked me, it's like, what is your accent? I can't quite figure it out. You sound like Elon Musk, because he's a South African that went to Canada to came to America. So my accent is very similar to his. But then if people with a very strong Afrikaans accent, and my wife sort of cringes when I do this, they speak with an accent like this. And most people don't know what they're saying sometimes. Right, Pastor? Yes. So I think we'll do, for the younger kids, maybe later we'll do a little test if they can say the word peanut butter in Afrikaans. And it will think about it, but not during the sermon, but it's grondboontjie botter. Okay. So pastor's disqualified because he's one of the few people that's pronounced my last name almost perfectly. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here, and I want to say thank you to Pastor and his wife who've put us up and have fed us, and we're just excited to be here with you. There's a connection between the churches, and I think I'll talk about that a little bit later this afternoon, but we were there at the church that Pastor started in South Africa, and that was a real blessing serving the Lord there along other South Africans who are serving the Lord faithfully. I'll tell you quickly a little bit about myself and how I ended up being here in front of you today before we open the Word. As Pastor said, I'm a South African. I was raised there and grew up there. And I grew up in a town called Benoni. And so if you can think of growing up in the Bronx, sort of type, the wrong side of the tracks, that's where I grew up. And as a young boy, my parents faithfully took me to church and studied God's Word, learned it, memorized it, but I always thought I was a good boy, and I thought, well, I could be saved because I went to church. And at the age of 12, I realized, well, knowing my Bible verses, coming to church, my parents are saved, doesn't make me a saved person. And I realized that my sin separated me from God, and I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 12. After that, I served the Lord with my dad at a squatter camp ministry from the age of 16, where I taught the Sunday school lessons, but never thought that I would serve the Lord in this way, standing here in front of you. So if you see my legs shake, which you probably can, sometimes I get nervous and not used to speaking English this much informally. And so the Lord, through many other things, brought me here to serve the Lord as a missionary in South Africa. So if you would like to take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to look at this passage, and the title is The Characteristics of a Servant. And we have lots of examples of people who are servants in God's Word. And a lot of them, we know their names. We look at the New Testament, we see all the apostles and the disciples who are servants of the Lord. And the greatest servant of them all, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was the greatest servant. And he's the ultimate example for us to be like when we want to serve someone. Serve our master. This passage here that we're going to look at today is one that we all know very well. If we know the story of Isaac and Rebekah and Abraham and their family, You can probably tell me the whole passage and tell me what happened and how it happened. It's okay. Somebody's talking. I know they're. And so we hear this whole passage. We go through this. And there's one person that we forget a lot of times that's in here, but his name is never mentioned. And that is the servant that's here. Now, many theologians would say, we think it's this person. They have find a name, and pastor's probably looking it up on his iPad. Who might this be? But for this purpose, is the servant's name was never, ever mentioned in this passage. And so before we look at this passage, let's just open a word of prayer before we look at the several characteristics that this servant had that we ought to have when we serve the Lord. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your word that we are able to study and to know and understand and to grow more in you. Lord, I thank you for this church who are faithfully preaching your word and teaching it, Lord, and sharing with others. And as we just heard the testimonies earlier today, we pray and ask that you'll help each and every one of us, and myself included, be able to be better servants of you as we look at the example of the servant in this text. Lord, we ask that you bless this time and that you'll open our hearts and minds to this. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I would like us to, let's read the first six verses together, and then we'll get to the first characteristic of the servant. Verse 1, "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And as I said before, the servant's name is not mentioned once. So the first characteristic of a servant is that he was someone who was anonymous. We see what would be the reason for his name not being mentioned. And if we look at what people think a servant is in today's day, what is mentioned in this passage is the complete opposite of how we ought to be as the Lord's servants. And the reason for his name not being mentioned is, you know, as we know that he was dependable, he was trustworthy. And I believe the reason why his name was never mentioned in this passage is because the task that his master gave him was more important than the person who he was. He was sent by his master for us as believers, we can look at the task that the Lord has given us. A task that he's given each and every one of us is greater than who we are. And here in the States, as we drive visiting churches, we drive past some churches and some billboards, and there would be a gigantic sign of a picture of a pastor. It says, come see Pastor so-and-so. Now, pastor wasn't on a big sign or a billboard saying, come see Pastor Tim in this area. But it seems to be that the people who are bringing the message nowadays is more important than the message they're supposed to be sharing. They glorify themselves. They say, we do this and we'll go there and we're wonderful speakers. And I can admit to you that I'm not the greatest speaker. And even in Afrikaans, the heavenly language, I'm not that good. But what the Lord wants us to be is anonymous. He doesn't need us to be a great big name or this wonderful person. that everybody, as long as you're faithfully doing what your master has asked of you. And that's what the Lord wants us to be, anonymous. I want us to turn to we're going to turn to one passage in the New Testament, turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. And here we look at the greatest servant and what he did. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death unto a cross." Jesus, our Lord, made himself of no reputation. And I'm sure that just here, as it is in South Africa, people would have to build their reputation up to be able to have masses of people come to their services and fill these giant buildings. But that's not what the Lord asked them to be. He just asked them to preach and teach the word faithfully. So that's the first characteristic of the servant had. He was anonymous. The second one was, he was loyal. From the life and the world that we live in, the word loyalty is almost non-existent. People get married and they get divorced. There's nothing there. People get a job. I read somewhere that the longest people stay at one job is 2 years, and then they go look for a new job. Not because they're not satisfied with the work that they have, but it's because they think they need to move on, go to the next and get better, do that. And so this servant was loyal to his master. Let's read back in our passage in chapter 24, read verse 9 together. It says, "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter." The servant was loyal to his master. He didn't say, "Master, you know, I'll go do this for you if you do that for me." He didn't have a ulterior motives of like saying, "Well, I'll do this for you, then I'll go for you." He was loyal to perform the task, and he didn't have any stipulations or things that he wanted to add. He didn't say, "What if?" The servant made a promise to his master, and he would perform it no matter what. And we have to ask ourselves, if the Lord's asked of us something that we ought to do, and we, as humans, trying to bargain with the Lord, instead of just saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." And it is not an easy thing to say, "Yes, I will do that." But if you follow the word and follow the Lord, saying yes to what he asks of us to do, it's a lot easier. And our daily lives as believers, it's very easy to forget what our task in life is. We might have many obligations, many tasks to fulfill, and it's not the easiest world that we live in to be loyal to the task the Lord has given us. And we ought to be loyal to the task that God has given us. My task was to be a missionary. Your task might be to be a father. Your task might be to be a mother. Or your task might be to be a teacher or a worker. We all have different tasks, but are you loyal in the Lord for that task that he's given you? You don't have to be a preacher to be a servant of the Lord. And so the Lord wants us to be loyal to the task that we are given in our lives as believers. The third characteristic, and one of the most important things is that this servant was equipped for the task at hand. And there was another passage that I thought on speaking on today, but Pastor said that he already preached on Psalm 119. But that passage there explains a lot of things that we ought to have to be equipped to serve our Master. But let's look at verse 10 here in our text. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. This servant didn't go unequipped for the task. So he knew what he needed to go find a wife for his master's son. He had it there, and his master says, here, this is what, everything that I have, you can use to go perform this task. And for us as believers, we sometimes forget that we have everything that we need. Sometimes we have it in our hands to perform the task that the Lord has asked of us. Sometimes we forget that we have a pastor who's there to help us and to guide us. We have deacons in our church to help us and to encourage us, to help us to equip ourselves to be able to perform the task. And a lot of people say, Pastor, I can't do that. You know, I'm not able to do that. Well, you can learn how to do it. In Afrikaans, there is a word and a phrase that says, you know, kan nie do it. And kan nie do it is a, I'll try to translate it because it doesn't always make very good sense in English. But there's a tree called the kan nie do it tree. And that tree, you can cut it down, you can pour diesel down the stump, you can try and kill it, but it will not die unless you uproot the whole tree. And the phrase means that the word I can't does not exist. It's saying, no, you can. You can be equipped. You can serve the Lord. You can do these things, not out of yourself, but because you are able to equip yourself from God's Word, studying it, memorizing it, taking it in from the sermons that you hear by serving the Lord, helping others in the Word. And so we are fully equipped. There's no such phrase that I can't do that. Well, the Lord can help you do that. If you asked me 15 years ago, can I stand in front of people and speak? I would have told you, no way, I wouldn't be able to stand here. So the Lord has equipped us. Abraham did not send his servant with empty hands to perform the task. He went with everything that he needed. And God has given us, each of us as believers, as his servants, the equipment to perform the task. He's given us his word, and he's given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The equipment that the Lord has given us is not there to enrich ourselves. And once again today we can see examples of that, how people use preaching and teaching as a way to enrich themselves. God never intended us to enrich ourselves, but he intended for us to serve him well equipped so that we can grow others in the Lord and that they can go and serve the Lord as well. We have everything that the Master has given us. The fourth characteristic, and we're going to jump down a few verses to verse 31, and it says that the servant, he was dedicated to the task. And this is one of the hard things. Most of the men here will understand this phrase, what was being read here. Or if Pastor Tim makes you hamburgers or grills something on, or if he bries something for you. But verse 31 says, and this is when the servant had traveled many miles and got to the place where he needed to be. And it says, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came unto the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him. Now, this is where all the men says, oh, there's food. I don't need to concentrate on anything else. I want to eat now. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. As a servant of the Lord, there are many, many things in the world that can distract us from the tasks that we need to perform. Problems in the present world, problems at work, problems at home, with friends and family. There's so many distractions, so many temptations from the most important tasks that we have at hand. And in this passage, the servant was dedicated to the task. He was offered a meal and comfort. You know, he's traveled many miles to meet everything that he needed physically, to meet his physical needs right then and there. And the world that we live in, the temptations and the distractions are so many, we can't keep up with them. We would walk from one side of the house and we get distracted with a child saying, Dad, I need this. Or if you're watching something, or you're driving on the road and they have a sign and you get distracted. Or for me, as an example, the first time I came to the United States visiting, I went to a grocery store or to a Walmart, and I walked in, and we were looking for, I think the right word, washing detergent or washing. So we were going to buy some washing detergent. And we walked into the Walmart, and there is an aisle that's, I mean, to me it was a warehouse. There was a warehouse, and in the one aisle of the warehouse called Walmart, there were all these different kinds of soaps. And we looked at all of them. We're like, which one do we buy? This one costs this much, not that much. This one says it has odor, and that one is, you know, hyperallergenic and all these things. And we ended up being so distracted with all the things that were there that we ended up buying other things, but we never bought the thing that we went for. And it sounds like a silly example, but that's how it is in the world. There's so many distractions that keep us from the task that the Lord wants us to do. We get sidetracked so easily because we either get confused or taken off the path that we ought to serve the Lord on. And that's what the world wants us to do. The world wants to distract us. But this servant was dedicated. Even though he had this nice warm meal in front of him, he said, no, I'm not going to eat it. Let me finish the business that I have come to do. The fifth characteristic, and all of these are very close to one another, but the fifth one is that he was humble. The servant was humble. Verse 34, it says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. He didn't announce himself. He didn't blow his own whistle, or he didn't talk about himself. He said, I'm here for my master. And a lot of people ask me, well, aren't you Afrikaans? And I'm from that heritage. Aren't you from South Africa? Yes, I'm a South African. But what's the most important to us? I'm a believer. I'm saved by grace. That's who I am. What's more important, me being a South African, me being Afrikaans, or me being Dion Jans van Rensburg? That's, none of those things are important. It's the Lord's work, who I am in Him, not by myself. So I am a believer in the Lord. So the servant didn't introduce himself, but he introduced him as the servant of his master. The sixth characteristic, He was direct in his approach. He was direct. Verse 49. It says, verse 49 to verse 51. And now if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And as believers, many times we ought to be more direct in our approach with the task that the Lord has given us. We need to ask direct questions. We need to speak directly. In South Africa, they say, "Jy praat die waarheid snaaks." You're speaking the truth strangely. You're trying to beat around the bush. You're trying to say things by telling people about the Lord, but you're not saying that. You're not being direct and saying you need the Lord as your Savior. You're a sinner. And yes, there are ways of saying it in a nice way and ways of saying it in a bad way, but you have to be direct in saying it. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to speak to people directly of the task that He's given us. In the world that we live in, everything has to be politically correct when we say them. We can't just say them as what they mean. And a lot of times for me, when I come here, I have to say, what do you mean by that? Because people say things in a strange way and are not direct. And I appreciate people saying direct, like, this is what I like to do, or this is what I'm doing. I can handle it. But we sometimes forget that the task that the Lord has given us, He says, speak the truth, say it as it is. There's no sugarcoating needed, because my word would not return to me void. That's the sixth characteristic. The seventh characteristic, if we look at this, and this is one that encompasses all of them, is that he was faithful. Verse 56. And let's just read all the way down to the last verses here. And he said, verse 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and he said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servants, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands and millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servants took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from away out of the well of Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother and Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So when the servant had done the deal of saying, Rebecca is going to come with me. He didn't say, all right, my task is done. We're all good. Let's just stay here for a few days. Let's relax. He said, okay, let's get Rebecca. Let's go back to my master. And a lot of times, people do things halfway. And a lot of times I say things and I don't finish my sentences because I'm thinking it up here, but I'm not saying it out here. I don't finish my chain of thought. So I'm not always faithful to my sentences. But this example of this servant is he was faithful right up until the end, till he finished the task that his master gave him to do. He didn't just find the girl, he brought her back. That was the whole task. And would you not be one day want to hear the Lord say of you, well done, my good and faithful servant? And that's what this servant was. He was good and faithful right up until the end of his task. We don't know when our task ends or when the Lord comes and takes us to be with him. But we want to be found in that moment when he does take us to be with him, that we are faithful, serving him as missionaries, as pastors, as teachers, as fathers, as mothers, as brothers and sisters, faithfully doing what he's asked of us to do here on this earth. You mind closing in a word of prayer, Pastor? Can I close in a word of prayer? All right, let's. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many blessings that we have. Lord, we thank you for this passage in the scripture that I myself have looked at many times and saw all the characters and looked at Abraham and Rebecca and Isaac. But Lord, sometimes we forget the people that are not named or mentioned. And Lord, we want to be these servants that serve you faithfully right up until the end, till you take us to be with you. Lord, I pray and ask that you be with each and every one here who are serving you, Lord, that you'll help them in what they do for you and that you'll keep them faithful up until that day. Lord, I thank you also for your son that you've given to us, who was the perfect example of a servant, who became of no reputation, and then he died on the cross and paid the price for our sins. And Lord, we pray and ask that you will look to you as an example and that we will finish the race strong. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, Deon. As Deon was praying, something popped into my mind. You know, it was incredible about the task that this servant completed. Had he not been successful in finding a wife for Isaac, everything that Abraham had probably would have fallen to him, because he was the eldest servant in Abraham's house. Yet, that didn't stop him from being faithful and dedicated and all of these things that Deon has mentioned to us this morning in the text. We must be faithful no matter whether we think it's going to be a profitable outcome for us or not. We must be what God calls us to be in the realm of being a servant. So thank you, Deon, for sharing with us your heart. Mark, would you run back in the office and grab an offering plate to put back on this table? So if you want to give a special love offering to the von Rensburg family, you can throw that into the offering plate that's going to be back there. Would you stand together with me as we close our service in song? Perfect song to end our service. I will serve.